Hello and welcome to your Rate My League preview show. I'm Andy Goldstein, joined by Luke Giesbrecht. Did I do that right?
Nailed it.
Man, I didn't even have to think that time. I'm getting good at this. We're here to look at Golden Empire, standard scoring Dynasty 12-teamer. Eric bought the show, although it was Eric through Rob. Luke, you remember Rob from Get a Life.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that was the last show that we did, actually.
Yeah, our last CBS show, yeah.
Yeah, our last CBS show. So, Rob, this is, I believe, I don't know if Eric is in that league and he wanted one for this league also, or if he was just a friend. I don't know. I don't know how it all works out there. But anyway, the point is, Eric heard that show and liked it so much that he wanted to get a show for his league here, Golden Empire, and that's how we like to do it. We're going to break the ice. So we like to break the ice with every league out there. We're going to do that. We're doing that this year by looking up random quotes. We're looking up quotations on quotationspage.com using random keyword searches. I think it's my turn to pick a word. I feel like we have to go with empire. There's going to be some good quotes about empires here. We have Lao Tzu. Lao Tzu from 604 BC to 531 BC says, "He who loves the world as his body may be entrusted with the empire." I feel like we don't love the world as our body anymore. Although, for a lot of people, they treat the world pretty much the way they treat their bodies. So
I was going to say, yeah, I've seen some people burn the candle at both ends and not really caring what the outcome is. So
that Lao Tzu is ahead of his time? Lao is a man, right? Lao Tzu?
Yep. Yeah, you bet.
Well, you sounded very confident there. You know a lot about Lao Tzu?
Not a lot, but a little bit.
Chinese philosopher from the 500 BCs?
Yeah, wrote Art of War, I believe.
Was that Lao Tzu? I thought that was...
Am I wrong?
The Art of War. Wasn't that someone else? I don't know. I have no idea. I'm bad at these things. Last time, I think it was...
Yeah, Sun Tzu. Damn. All right, I'm wrong close. Already.
Last time we were talking about Kurt Vonnegut, and I was like, oh yeah, he wrote Gravity's Rainbow. No, that was Thomas Pynchon. Kurt Vonnegut wrote Slaughterhouse-Five, which I had read and forgot. So, there you go. 8 starters on offense, 4 starters on defense on the offensive side. Same as, I believe it's the same exact, it's like a carbon copy of Get a Life here. But 1 quarterback, 1 running back, 1 wide receiver, 1 tight end, and 3 flexes. No super flex here. And then on the defensive side, 1 defensive lineman, 1 linebacker, 1 defensive back, and 1 IDP flex. And Eric actually wrote in and said that they started in 2017. They started with 8 teams, and now they're up to 12. So they added 4 teams in an expansion draft. And I think they started as a keeper league, and then they turned it into a dynasty league, if I am reading it right. It's their second season with 12 teams, and there were a lot of trades happening. Although I did look ahead, I think a lot of the trades were Eric trading with other people in the league, but that's kind of sometimes the way you have to do it. You have to get other people on board with what's going on. And he said that scoring is a little different from Rob's league. The solo tackles for IDP are tracked, and quarterback touchdowns are 6 points for both throwing and rushing. And it's a California league, Bakersfield, California. Which is kind of close to you, right? You're north of them.
Yeah, I'm West Coast. Yeah. Same time zone, just in the cold north.
Yep. Here's how it's going to work. We're going to count down 12, 2, 1. We're going to talk about the starter redraft value, the total redraft value on offense, the dynasty value on offense, the future draft capital, the IDP value, and the Rate My League staff value, which has a smaller, more minuscule role in the team score. The team score is how we rank the teams. That's out of 10. And then from there, other things we can talk about. Doesn't directly impact the rankings, but it's fun nonetheless. the trades. We definitely have some trades to talk about. Luckily, Eric was kind enough to sort of give me the lowdown on some of those trades. Because on CBS, looking at the trades is just, it's a nightmare. It's like, it just lists, like, who's moving, and then it's, you have to figure out who's on what side. Anyway, it's a mess. And I'm allowed to criticize CBS because my home league was on CBS for, like, 12 years, 13 years, something like that.
Oh, yeah. You finally decided to pull the pin?
Well, yeah, we moved to MFL. Have you ever had a league on CBS?
No, CBS is one of the only ones I don't think I've ever used.
Yeah. But, it's actually, I mean, there was a lot of stuff I liked about it, and it's actually one of the sneaky, flexible, like, it's pretty customizable in a sneaky way, but it's very expensive, and there's no API, which makes me a sad, sad person. And the 2021 draft, we'll talk about that. And helmet stickers are kind of like achievements or awards or badges. You get them for doing something good or bad or neutral. But if it's neutral, it better be fun. And with that, Luke, we have a lot to get to. Can you tell I've done a lot of shows this week with my other co-host, Derek? I'm kind of on autopilot at this point.
Oh, I won't take any offense.
Yeah, there you go. Number 12, suck my TDs. Suck my TDs. That's a... I don't know if you get the reference there, Luke, but... it's a sexual reference.
Oh, I didn't. I missed it completely. It's got some subtlety to it.
Slightly sexual. This team is number 12 in total offensive redraft value, number 12 in starter offensive redraft value. Unfortunately, does not gain enough dynasty value to move up either. Not the oldest team, 26 flat, and especially on offense, 25.7. It's 25.7 on the offensive side of the ball. So at least it's a young team here. They did have the third pick overall. Now, I want to get your impression. This is kind of what stood out to me. This team took Mac Jones third overall. Third overall for Mac Jones. It is not super flex, first of all. And even if it were.
He's
the number four ADP. By ADP, he's the number four rookie quarterback going in rookie draft.
Yeah, I don't really try to scramble and come up with an excuse, but I can't come up with any right now. That's a tough pick. There's gonna be some pain from that one.
I mean, they're supposed to be from California, so I don't get the allegiance to the Patriots unless they're an out-and-out front-runner, right?
Yeah, no. I just there's better QBs, there's better players. With the six touchdown points, it's a little like I lean a little bit more quarterback oriented in a one QB league, but there's so many out there. I just can't wrap my head around that.
And it's not like they didn't need quarterback here. You know, Daniel Jones is the number one. He's not the safest option, but if you're gonna take a rookie, I mean that's a gut shot pick because Mac Jones is the fourth projected quarterback. Behind, obviously, Lawrence and Fields and Lance in some order. Actually, he's fifth, right? Behind Wilson as well. So, yeah that's a rough selection.
Yeah, it's calling your shots. We'll put it that way. But, yeah, it's going to lead you to having our number 11th ranked overall quarterback league, even after spending that high draft capital, which is, like you said, position of need. But there was a lot of positions on need when you're this low in our rankings.
They're number 11 in running back value. They're number 11, I believe, in wide receiver value. Or is that 12? My printer...
11 as well,
okay, that's number 11. They're number 11 everywhere, almost. They're number 9 at tight end value. They did make a trade. They acquired Devontae Parker. They only gave up a fourth-round pick. It is IDP. Well, they gave up, a fourth and a fifth. It is IDP, so those later-round picks can have some extra value. Compared to non-IDP, but that seems like a decent enough deal to me. I think Parker still has at least a little bit of upside. It's worth buying into there. I don't mind that price.
No, I think it's a good price for Parker. I mean, you're kind of hoping that he either moves on or the situation's changed and maybe he can differentiate himself there in Miami. But, yeah, for that price, I think you're happy with that acquisition. You're not going to find much even in a FA rookie split draft.
I mean, to me, this team is all about what are we building around? What's the future? What's the core? Jacobs, maybe. A.J. Brown, for sure. Mm-hmm. And then maybe Parker, maybe Rager, you know, maybe Nelson Aguilar with the Patriots. Like, maybe he can break out. Like, you just have to find what the core is here and then move forward. Because right now, taking Mac Jones at number three is such a It's such a franchise-altering move. I don't know. Anything on the IDP side that jumps out at you?
Yeah, I mean, I think this one, the one thing I'd say is that, I don't want to harp too much on the other league, but when we looked at how they've incorporated a pretty similar styling, but then added tackles to the scoring, it's a lot more traditional. So that all of a sudden makes those outside linebackers become a little less valuable, especially when you're starting so few players. I think you want more just middle linebackers who are going to soak up tackles, which makes Levante David a great pick. So like, that's nice, but he's older. And like you were just saying, this team to me is AJ Brown and now Mac Jones. I guess you've decided who's kind of like he's going to be your ride along. Josh Jacobs, when we talk about windows, I don't know if this team's window lines up with Josh Jacobs' peak production value. So he might be someone I'd be looking to trade.
Well, and then I think Josh Jacobs' peak production has already passed.
Yeah, it could be gone already. Quite honestly, it could have already happened, which is terrifying. But yeah, Max Crosby and Marcus Davenport's a fine defensive end group, and Jonathan Abrams and Carl Joseph, you've got enough. Like it's an okay IDP group. It's older as well. I mean, our average age is pretty young there, but yeah, there's a lot to do here. And like I said, I think it's AJ Brown, Mac Jones, build around that and move forward.
Yeah, it's going to be some lean years here. 3.3 is the team score. They get one sticker. It's the You Should Be Sad sticker.
Hey, everyone. Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. And if you watch 7 hours of commercial-free football, you know I like to keep it upbeat. I love touchdowns. I love wins. I love excellence. And your team is the opposite of that. In fact, your team's kind of hot garbage. It's the worst. And you should feel sad.
Yeah. I got Scott Hansen to personally insult Suck My TDs. I don't know if Scott Hansen knew that's what was going to happen, but that's what happened. You don't think this IDP group can raise up the worst offensive group? You know, I will say, for the team that is at the bottom, they don't have a single position that's ranked dead last.
No, that's true, right? Like, there's some... It's not, like, god-awful. It's just...
No, I mean, it's still god awful. It's just they don't have one position that is dead last. Number 11, being 11th at everything does not make you not god awful. Number 11, Raiders Original from the West Division. I didn't mention, but there's the East Division and the West Division, in case you were wondering.
I wonder if they split them up geographically in Bakersfield. I wonder if it's like they split the east side and the west side of town or not.
Is that how Bakersfield works? East and West? I don't know.
Tracks down the middle.
So Raiders Original, this team, number 10 in total redraft value, number 10 in starter redraft value. They are another team. Actually, this team is kind of in the upper prime age group. 27.8 is the average starter, 27.4 on offense, and slightly older on defense. They actually lose dynasty value here thanks to Julio Jones, Mike Evans, Tom Brady, even Jalen Hurts, who... is the projected starter. It's not great when your 23-year-old projected quarterback starter is losing dynasty value already. But with the rumors swirling about Deshaun Watson potentially being a suitee, what do you call someone who gets suit like a suitor on the other side? Anyway, with Deshaun Watson potentially being a target for the Eagles, Jalen Hurts' dynasty value has a little bit of cloudiness to it.
Yeah, it's definitely something to keep an eye on. I mean, I'm a Philadelphia fan. I would say I don't think it's the most likely thing, but on paper, we certainly are one of the teams that have a need and the ammo to go get them.
Well, it's been a big story this week with, mm-hmm. I think it was Schefter.
Yeah, Schefter broke it for sure, yeah, and it's been the talk of the town as of late.
Yep. And if things weren't bad enough, this team, well, it's not that bad. I mean, they are technically dead last in future draft capital, but they're just missing a 22-second. Not a lot of draft pick trading in this league at this point. Again, it's only the second year that they've had 12 teams. So, you know, it's just early, but there just hasn't been a lot of future draft pick trading. Technically, they are last in that category, but it's not the end of the world. They still have their first rounders over the next couple of years. So I don't put too much stock into that. I do put stock into the fact that this is the number 12 dead last running back group in the league, with Kenyon Drake as your number one, and that's the only guy with any auction value on this roster at all. You know, Josh Kelly's here, Carlos Hyde is here, and it gets worse from there.
Yeah, it's Oof, it's rough. Yeah, Lev Bell's gone. Frank Gore's gone. Yeah, you're hoping Kenyon Drake in a backup, maybe just we'll call him running back two in the offense kind of situation. But like that's you're just so destitute there. And I mean, they've got a couple other things going for them. Like their wide receiver group, we've got them ranked number eighth overall, over sixth in starter value. And it's not a bad looking group. Mike Evans, they traded for Julio Jones, and they ended up trading. This is where they actually ended up trading a draft pick. They traded 1.02, it looks like, for Julio and a grouping of picks. So they did add Julio Jones, Jarvis, and then you have Jarvis Landry and Marquise Brown kind of filling that group up. So like that wide receiver group is pretty good, but just that running back group is just there's nothing.
Can I get your what I believe are very obvious opinions on trading for Julio Jones when your team is awful and going nowhere and old already?
I don't like it. <It's> I mean,
it's 1.02.
I don't know who went first, but there was a very, very good player on the board. Yeah, I mean, I love Julio, and I think the acquisition price isn't crazy, but the situation doesn't match what was happening.
No, like, the acquisition price is crazy. I mean, they did get a fifth and a sixth and a seventh. They at least got some extra future draft cap or current year draft capital out of that. But it's not enough. I mean, 1.02 is I mean, that's a supremely valuable pick. Mm. Supremely valuable.
And even in a league where you're only forced to start one running back, like you could just say, all right, I'm starting Kenyon Drake every week. I'm going to just punt the bye. My wide receivers are going to win me enough weeks. Like, I mean, they have Darren Waller, which is going to automatically give them our number three overall tight end group. So that's a plus spot for them. And it's a really good IDP group, but there's not enough. I mean, the linebackers leave a little bit, but it's the best defensive line group in the league for sure. When you've got Aaron Donald and Myles Garrett, that's just a slam dunk. So you're going to be starting those two for sure, which means you're just down to a linebacker and a DB. They've got a bunch of outside linebackers, which, as I was saying, with tackles being in here, I'm less interested in, but it's still such a big play league. Those sack guys are going to score well. So that's good. And then Tyrann Mathieu and Ramsey and Gilmore are both, especially with the DB scoring format, they're good. So like that's a strong IDP group. But I think the anchor of running back is going to just hold you so far back.
Yeah, I do like the last point here. I do like the Rashad Bateman pick at 2.02. I thought that was a really nice pick here, but man, not having that 1.02 is just, it's a killer. 3.79 is the team score. Helmet stickers, the Father Time sticker, Frank Gore on the roster. The AA Ron sticker, starting Aaron Donald. The Tapped Out sticker, Least Draft Capital. The Tom Brady Memorial. This is the oldest projected starting lineup in the league. Yeah, you're the oldest team. You're ranked 10th in redraft value, and you added Julio Jones. Ugh. Mosquitoes suck. The team the my league staff is most unanimous on, and the Glenn Coffee sticker, worst rated running back position. But we'll play this one. Bold strategy, Cotton.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
For having Marquise Brown and Rashad Bateman on the roster, because, you know, the Ravens will be maybe in the top 29 in pass attempts this year. So, got to go for it. Number 10, Birmingham Blitz from the West Division. That's two teams from the West, I believe, and one team from the East so far. This team, so big trade. I think we need to start with this trade. They traded away Lamar Jackson and Travis Etienne, and they got back Matt Stafford and Najee Harris. So far, I have not been thrilled with the trades in terms of being win-win trades. I love seeing win-win trades. They make my heart warm and fuzzy, and I look at this trade and I the consensus would argue that Najee Harris is an upgrade over Travis Etienne. Yeah. I understand that. It is not enough of an upgrade by consensus value to go from Lamar Jackson to Matt Stafford. Like that's not an even deal overall, even if you are theoretically upgrading at running back.
Yeah, I got to agree with you. I'm a huge Stafford proponent for at least the next couple seasons. I think he's in a good position with the Rams. But in a one-quarterback league, Lamar Jackson's a difference maker for you, I think, for a lot of people. And I agree wholeheartedly with you that I think Najee Harris and Travis Etienne, especially as we move further away from just kind of situational bubble of the draft, they're going to become a lot closer in value over this year.
Yeah, so, I actually like Etienne more than Harris, so I'm trying to pick my words very carefully.
He's got a lot going for him. He's younger. I mean, obviously the draft capital situation is a little different, but not a lot. And I mean, out of all positions in the NFL, draft capital to running back means the least in when they'll pull the pin on you.
Yeah.
Because if it's bad, it's bad, and NFL teams walk away. So you need to produce more than any other position. Whereas, like, wide receiver, like, you can get bounced around as a first-round wide receiver to three different teams before anyone finally gives up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, yeah, I would definitely want the Lamar Jackson side, for sure.
This team is also involved in another trade. They acquired David Montgomery, and they gave up Tyler Boyd and Zach Moss, which is a fine deal. I mean, this is the league worst wide receiver group in the league. It's the league worst tight end group in the league. So giving up Tyler Boyd does sting a little bit because he could have been useful here. They do have Laviska Shenault, and they have T.Y. Hilton, who I think is going to outperform wide receiver 52 this year. I think he meshes pretty well with Carson Wentz there in Indy. But that's it. I mean, running back here has a chance of being pretty good. Najee Harris, David Montgomery, David Johnson. I mean, certainly so far, it's one of the stronger running back groups we've seen. It is ranked number eight in the league. It's not saying much, but I'm trying to be a little positive.
Yeah, people are still pretty high on David Montgomery. Todd Gurley, I guess we've got him sitting down here at $0 right now because he still doesn't have a home a week and a half away from training camp starts. That's a terrible sign, but things are going to happen. He's going to end up on a roster, so you got some hope there. Mecole Hardman and Amon-Ra St. Brown are both kind of sneaky. We have no idea what's going on in Detroit right now. He could easily be their best wide receiver, and nobody knows it yet, or he could lose out to nobody's.
I don't think Detroit knows what the hell is going on in Detroit right now, so especially at the wide receiver position. There's a lot to be determined there. How about IDP here? I'm done with this offensive roster. Number 12 at those positions. Come on.
It's a good IDP group again. This is weird. We've seen a couple really good IDP groups, and some of the kind of marquee IDP names are going off the lists really low. So it's kind of interesting. Bosa Watt is a great one too. Carlos Dunlap's got a little bit of value still. I think he's got a little bit of juice left in a rotational situation out there. Deion Jones is a good enough linebacker, and when you're only starting one, Kiko Alonso you can cut. Go find somebody else on waiver wires who'll give you more production. Marlon Humphrey is probably one of the only cornerbacks I'd really be looking to own. And then obviously when you have Jamal Adams and Landon Collins, that's going to give us, like, that's our number two overall safety group. It's our number one defensive end group. Those are the two positions like I'm really interested in, especially in smaller starting rosters. We call it like IDP light. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones where you're going to find your differentiators really, really important. And then you can kind of find that rotational linebacker. So it's a good IDP group. I don't know if it's enough to kind of buoy that wide receiver group, but like this again, like we'll see how the scoring goes here, but like the top teams definitely are going to be a little lighter on the IDP side based on who we've seen.
Yeah. Probably one of the few teams that has two projected safety starters. So that flex play is coming from the safety position, which is somewhat unique. 3.84 is the team score here. Helmet sticker, the rook sticker, tied for most rookie starters. The scarcity sticker, worst rated tight end position, but we'll play this one. The grounded sticker.
I hope you're both very satisfied with the damage you've caused because you're both grounded!
For the worst rated wide receiver group. Yeah, I don't know if we gave it the full spotlight that it deserves, but Laviska Shenault at wide receiver 45 is the number one wide receiver on the roster. Hilton, Hardman. Hey, did you hear Mecole Hardman learned how to run a route this offseason, supposedly?
we'll see. Is it just like a nine?
I mean, you figure if you're in the league for 2 years, you could probably at some point learn how to run a route, but I guess not for Mecole Hardman. Number nine. So we've seen a lot of trades so far, and the trades seem to favor this team. Two Gurleys, one Cup. This is Eric's team in the East Division. I think we have to start with the trades because this team is really all about the trading right now. We saw the Julio Jones trade, so they traded away Julio Jones. They pick up 1.02, right?
Yes, which they used on. Oh, they must have. They actually ended up flipping that. Flip it as well. Okay.
Yeah, so they traded that one. They traded 1.02 for 1.10 and 2.22. Oh, I'm sorry, 2.10. And did I do that right? 2.10?
No, no. It's 1.10, a 2022 second, and DJ Moore.
Oh, okay.
So.
Wait, what?
I think that's a huge win. It's a big jump down to go down from number 2 to number 10. But you're picking up I'm sorry, I read that wrong.
Yeah, I think it's 2.10.
Pick number 2. It's pick number 22. Yeah, okay. You're right.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, and DJ Moore, which I think is probably a win for this side.
I think so. I think that's a pretty big win.
And I mean, the win of all wins is probably the Lamar Jackson Travis Etienne. I mean, that one to me is the biggest slam dunk.
Yeah, and I guess so, because they must have just really won. The other team must have just really wanted Najee.
So this team is now starting Lamar Jackson at quarterback. They have the number 3 quarterback group in the league. They are now starting. They're actually not even starting ETN because he's running back 25. So technically, they're starting J.K. Dobbins and Mike Davis. Davis becomes one of the flex plays here. They now have DJ Moore. I mean, they basically traded for most of their starters, or at least a majority of their starters, with Lamar Jackson and not a majority, but a bunch of their high quality players anyway. DJ Moore here, and Robert Woods and Tyler Lockett are all projected starters. You know, it's not the strongest team necessarily. They're number 7 in total value. They're number 8 in starter value here. I'm confused. No, they do have Etienne. I don't know. It says they draft. Well, I don't know. Maybe I put it in wrong. But they got, I think they got, I think Etienne was drafted at 1.05.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy because this team does, it's kind of an older team, sort of a late prime team. 27.1 is the average starter age, but they maintain their dynasty value. I just think the trades have turned this franchise into, I think they have a shot at the playoffs. I mean, you look, or maybe we're just so scarred by what we've seen so far and the rest of the rosters are going to be heads and shoulders above them. But, you know, Lamar Jackson and J.K. Dobbins and Mike Davis and DJ Moore, Robert Wood, like this is the first roster I think we've looked at that you can legitimately see good starters at every starting spot.
Yeah, I think so. Tight end group's going to hold them back a little bit. We've got them ranked number 11th overall. They're going to be starting Jared Cook, maybe hoping for something out of Dawson Knox. He's still a projected starter over in Buffalo right now, though we keep hearing rumors of things that never happen. So as of today, it works out. The IDP group's a little messy. It's our worst ranked defensive line group. Quinnen Williams and Kalamont's Chaseon are roughers. Gregory Rousseau is like a project, so they clearly tried to address the position, but like DL's pretty bad. Linebacker group's good to me. They just re-upped Fred Warner, so he's looking like a good long-term value. Joe Schubert's got a couple years in him, and so decent linebacker group. It's our number 1 ranked quarterback group, but when you're starting DBs, that matters a little less. But Logan Ryan and AJ Terrell and Marcus Peters are all going to get you decent points from a DB position, but I'd prefer higher scoring safeties. But I think you're right. I think that offense is playoff quality. Tight end and IDP might be lagging a little bit, but they've built this really nice young core that clearly has some years in it before they're worried.
And they picked up Devontae Smith at 1.10 as well. That's a pick
that feels like value. For.
Yeah, that's a pretty good pick there. Especially, again, quarterbacks win early in this draft, so you're almost tempted to look at it like a super flex draft. You're like, well, it's about right for Devontae Smith, but no, in a non-super flex league, I mean, Devontae Smith tends to go at 1.06 or 1.07, something like that. So to get him at 1.10 is nice value. I don't love the Chuba Hubbard pick at 2.10. I feel like Hubbard's being overdrafted a little bit, and I say that as someone who actually likes Chuba Hubbard. Like, I like his talent level, and I think he's got an okay, you know, if something happens to Christian McCaffrey, then Hubbard has a chance to be the Mike Davis of this year, and I get it. I think he's being slightly overdrafted.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a lot of internal instead of like trying to convince yourself that it's going to be the right move because there's a bunch of things that could go right. But
yeah, there's a lot of things where he could just end up sitting on the bench for an entire year and barely touch the ball. So,
yeah, I mean, if Christian McCaffrey gets his 90% snap count or whatever it is,
You're going to have no idea what you have.
Team score here, 4.59. Helmet stickers, empty trophy case, no other stickers. Let's move on to number 8. This is Wolfpack from the West Division. They are number 9 in total redraft value. They're number 8 in starter redraft value. Another little bit of a late prime age team. 27.8 is the average starter, 28 flat on offense, so bordering on an older offense here. They remain at number 9, but they do lose dynasty value with Adam Thielen, Terry McLaurin, Mike Williams all losing some value. And again, when you kind of look down the list of positions, there's no one position that stands out as being a foundational group. Now, they certainly have some interesting players like Dalvin Cook and Terry McLaurin can be long-term pieces, or at least Terry McLaurin can be a long-term piece. We'll see about the longevity of Dalvin Cook, and maybe even Dallas Goedert can be a long-term piece for this team. So there are some pieces here, but it's lacking an overall identity, I feel like.
Yeah, I think that's a nailed analysis. I don't really want to harp on drafting too much, but there's an elephant in the room, I think, and it's Trevor Lawrence went 1.01.
I thought you were going to say Kenny Moore going 2.01.
Okay, that too, because Rashad Bateman was on the board. Ouch. but, I mean, so this league is clearly telling us we don't care, it's a one quarterback league. We need to get quarterbacks, and they're drafting them quickly.
I think this league is telling us they did no research before drafting. I mean,
and they went 1.01.
They certainly marched to the beat of their own drum when it comes to drafting. The draft is not falling with ADP at all.
No, not quite. Yeah, it's definitely unique. And I mean, like, we look at this, like, I would have been very happy in a one quarterback league to ride Matt Ryan and not have a backup or pick up a random backup, a veteran of some sort later in life, and had Najee Harris on this running back group or Jamar Chase on this wide receiver group. And all of a sudden this team feels better.
Yeah.
But here we are.
Yes, it does.
But here we are. And I mean, Trevor Lawrence, you're going to be locked in for 20 years probably. So, I mean, we're going to look. At some point, you're going to be like, whatever, I got my guy. It's perfect.
16 years from now, you can come back and tell us how wrong we were.
It's about
propelling this roster and this team to something more than missing the playoffs.
And I think it's, like you said, Dalvin Cook, a hugely valuable piece right now, great scoring material, but we're talking about windows again, and with his injury history and his age and his carries coming up, I don't think his window matches the team.
Yeah.
Which is scary, especially because, like, I hate being forced into having to try to move a guy because you're worried about longevity. And then everybody can kind of sense that off you, and then you get into these weird positions where you end up negotiating against yourself or just watching the player sit on your roster until it's not valuable.
They do have an okay IDP group. We have them ranked number 2.
Yeah, I quite like it. It's pretty fun. Got them ranked number 5 in defensive line value, and I think we could even be a little higher on them, really. Like, Joey Bosa and Yannick Ngakoue are both very good, and Cam Hayward gives you some nice depth. Number 5, again, a linebacker with Cunningham, Kendricks, and Thompson. Maybe not, like, our bigger names, but some really good depth at all the positions. And then getting Derwin James back and pairing them with Von Bell and John Johnson. Like, you've got a lot of good options. You're maybe even a little too deep in it. Like, you have too many good players. It's a weird problem to have. But perhaps some of these better teams up high are going to be looking for IDP based on what I've seen go so far. So, yeah. I think looking at our 9th-ranked team and how we said kind of has, like, playoff vibes, I don't get the same vibe from this team.
No. I mean, the quarterback here can certainly be pretty good with Matt Ryan and maybe Lawrence will. You know, non-mobile quarterbacks, not that Lawrence is immobile, but, like, quarterbacks that aren't that classic dual threat tend to take a little bit longer to develop into actual big-time fantasy. Like, as much as Herbert was good last year, I think he still finished, he was, like, a borderline top 10, something like that. So, you know, it does take time for a classic pocket passer, or at least something resembling a classic pocket passer, to become a fantasy stalwart, like a Peyton Manning type. So we'll see. We'll see. Dalvin Cook can certainly carry a lot of weight on the offensive side of the ball. Maybe Terry McLaurin can break out a little bit as well and be a clear-cut top 10 wide receiver here. Team score 4.87. The one helmet sticker. The customer is always wrong. This is the lowest rated RML staff ranking versus consensus. I do not like this team versus consensus. I am down on who do I know? I have some concerns about Dalvin Cook. We saw him break down late last year, and I mean, he's one more injury, like one more nagging injury away from just, I feel like the crater's coming. Hopefully it doesn't, because this team needs to trade him immediately. Number 7, Modelo time from the East Division. This team is number 8 in total value, number 7 in starter value. Average starter age, 26.8, kind of right in that prime area. They do stay pretty much right at their dynasty value, so they retain the number 8 ranking for dynasty. This team is another group that is kind of, I mean, wide receiver is probably the one area where you can kind of say this is the core. Calvin Ridley, DK Metcalf, and maybe Cortland Sutton can sneak into that conversation as well. I mean, that's the strongest part of this team right now.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I'd be super comfortable having Cortland Sutton as my fringe kind of wide receiver 2. So plugging him in as your kind of wide receiver 3, that third flex position really is a nice place to be. Praying that Aaron Rodgers plays, I think, is going to be a little bit of an important part for this team. And it's getting more and more questionable until he's just going to randomly show up, and then we're going to have all fretted all summer for nothing. But
yeah, that they did pick up Justin Fields at 1.06, which I'm all over the map on, because on one hand, it's way too high for Justin Fields in a one quarterback league. On the other hand, compared to Trevor Lawrence and Mac Jones.
It's not bad.
It's not that bad.
No. This just seems to be the cost of quarterbacks right now. So I love Justin Fields. I think he's going to have a great situation moving forward. I think Allen Robinson and Darnell Mooney are going to be a good positional players for him. So having that as at least insurance for Aaron Rodgers is probably a good thing. Teddy Bridgewater might even end up being the starter in Denver as well. So you've got some decent depth. Running back's pretty rough, though. They're number 10th overall and number 10th in starter value. It's Chris Carson and James Conner, which I guess when you're only starting one, it's not the worst. But we do have Conner scheduled to be a flex, and he's, again, in that kind of RB2 backup role. We'll see how many carries he ends up getting.
Yeah, so at that 1.06, I mean, the guys that were there, we know that Javonte Williams was there if they wanted to go that route. Certainly would have made the team look a little better on paper for this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for this year, for sure, right?
The other options were probably at wide receiver if they wanted to go. I don't know where Pitts went. Hang on, I can look up where Pitts went.
That'll be one of the interesting questions for sure. As we kind of look at tight end, they did have Evan Ingram, who is losing a lot of value lately, and there's a lot of mouths to feed all of a sudden in New York, so that gets a little bit interesting. It's our number 10 overall group. But
Pitts went number 2, by the way.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
But Jamar Chase went 7th. Oh, so Jamar Chase was there.
Oh, man. Okay, that's rough. I'd much, much, much rather Jamar Chase. Even in a Superflex league, you got to consider Chase or Fields, depending on your roster construction. So, yeah. But, yeah, I think, like you said, the cornerstone of this team is good young wide receivers. IDP-wise, pretty good. Chase Young is our defensive end number 3, so that's going to automatically make you one of our top 5 defensive line groups, and they are. They're number 3 in starters, number 4 overall. Jadeveon Clowney is just a name. I'm going to keep saying that. Javon Kinlaw, I really, when you don't have to start defensive tackles and you're so shallow in your starting groups, you don't really need one. There's probably a better random defensive end sitting on the waivers. TJ Watt in this format is a little kind of weird, and they're going to end up getting a sticker for it, but he's startable for sure. And then Jalen Smith and Bobby Wagner is a great linebacker group. They're number 2 overall. So we've seen a lot of good IDP groups low.
Yeah.
It's a weird balancing thing. So it's kind of interesting to see how that's going to play out overall. Minka Fitzpatrick, again, is kind of more of a name. He really plays that floating free safety position where he's not going to get a ton of tackles, but not terrible. Kadarius Tooney, I would say, was a good draft pick at 2.06. I think that's decent value. It's kind of like where he's starting to go, though. He might be a little bit of a wait.
Yeah, I'm kind of out on him a little bit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we're trying to be nice, right? It's a fine value. 5.01 is the team score. The helmet stickers here, well, just one. Have you considered True Position IDP? I don't think CBS offers True Position. Maybe they do. I mean, they tend to have some pretty flexible systems out there. I don't know. Number six, Beagles from the East Division. This team was involved in a couple of trades. We talked about this one on the other side, but they traded away David Montgomery. They get back Tyler Boyd and Zach Moss. I actually like Zach Moss compared to his value right now. Not that they really need him to be much, because this is one of the stronger running back groups we're going to see with Aaron Jones, Austin Eckler, and DeAndre Swift here. So Zach Moss is a backup at this point. He's the fourth running back on the roster. But I do like him compared to his consensus value. And we'll see what Tyler Boyd can do. He's been slipping in value a little bit. He's down to wide receiver 40. I don't love David Montgomery. Just I'm not a big David Montgomery fan. So I'm going to be more I don't want to say it was a win for this side, but I don't mind getting out from under Montgomery a little bit. I think the value itself was not necessarily the most they could have gotten in return for Montgomery. Does that make sense?
No, I think you nailed it. Yeah, getting out from him, I totally understand. Zach Moss has a feel like he could become a David Montgomery, you know, like if he just ends up getting into a position where Singletary goes down or even Moss just ends up winning that job and he ends up just like, here's your 200 touches. And then he just kind of plods his way around, and like it could work out just fine. And I've always been a big fan of Tyler Boyd. It's just targets are going to be tough, but I agree with what your analysis is there. It's not a bad value trade. The next one's a little weird though, to me personally, at least. They had 1.07 and they moved down.
Yeah. Which turned into Ja'Marr Chase, for the record. The reason they did it is because this is the Deshaun Watson team. They were trying to lock up, first of all, the whoever is going to be the starter for the Saints, they right. have.
Yeah, and then picking up Cam as an extra shot. Yep. Yeah. Okay, I see it. I see the oh shit, I'm not going to have Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
I can't trust Jameis Winston to win the job.
But you know, there's a lesson to be learned here, I think. Because in Dynasty, when you it's an overreaction if you don't have a clear-cut contender, right? If you have Deshaun Watson and you have one of the best rosters in the league, like, I don't like bringing up my home league, but in my home league, I got to the title game, I lost the title game last year, I have one of the best win-now rosters in the league. I have Deshaun Watson. My next best guy is Baker Mayfield. That's a situation where, you know, maybe trading a first round pick for someone who can be better than Baker Mayfield might make sense because my window is limited. I got to go for it. This is the number six roster in the league. It's not bad, but you have to be realistic with yourself. And, you know, the difference between Ja'Marr Chase and Trey Sermon, who they got at 1.12, is ginormous. It's ginormous.
Yeah, especially when like the way this could shake out, and I don't want to put bad juju on anything, but Jameis Winston could end up winning the job, and Mac Jones could end up taking Cam Newton's job, and you've really gained very, very little. Like you bought a couple more kind of bullets in the gun, but you didn't get any like surefire shots, in my opinion.
Yeah, and even I don't know if this is worse or whatever, but there's a chance. I mean, some people think that Deshaun Watson isn't even going to be suspended for, you know, the full season. Like, he could come back after 8 weeks or something. And then it's a panic move. It feels like a panic move. It looks like it smells like a panic move. It looks like a panic move. It was a panic move.
Yeah, and maybe it's got to do with the running back group. It's our number four overall in starters and overall value. And they do have some older names. It's Aaron Jones, Austin Eckler, who are going to, I mean, neither of them are very old, but they're old in terms of running backs. DeAndre Swift is a nice kind of pairing guy to have towards the back end. And he's gone from someone who in the beginning of the summer was overhyped to now everybody has just tried to eat into that hype. And I think he's kind of value now all of a sudden, which is weird to see, but here we are.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think they needed Trey Sermon, really. No. I mean, I don't like, especially after going and getting Zach Moss. I guess you're worried that running back group looks a lot worse in a year. But like Ja'Marr Chase would just be, I mean, any time I would say that about any roster anywhere, I'd be like, this roster would look better if it had Ja'Marr Chase on it.
Or even taking Rashad Bateman at 1.12 because he went a couple picks later. So, yeah, I'm sad. Yeah. This just makes me sad. Team score here, I'm skipping IDP. It's the lowest rated IDP group. It's not a very good one.
No, that's fair. I don't have much to say about it.
5.14 is the team score here. The Helmet Stickers, you feeling lucky for starting Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill, or in this case, one of those guys probably, whichever one becomes the starter. The Gary, your Premium Sticker, worst rated quarterback position, and yes, the Ben's End Break Sticker for the lowest rated IDP. Number five, Marshands? It's an uppercase A, that's all I know. This team actually made the title game. They did lose the title game, but they did make the title game, which is not a terrible season overall. They are number five in total and starter redraft value here. A young team as well. In fact, even younger on offense, 24.7 on the offensive side of the ball. Very, very young squad. They do gain some dynasty value here with Javonte Williams, Cam Akers, Terrace Marshall. I thought they had a pretty quality draft. Javonte Williams at 1.11 is awesome value. We tend to see at this point in one quarterback leagues, I know this draft didn't follow that at all, but in one quarterback leagues, Javonte Williams has kind of carved out, I believe, a tier of his own after the top group. It's that 1.05 pick seems to be Javonte Williams more than anyone else. Yeah, you can argue for Jalen Waddle. You can argue for Devontae Smith in there. But after Pitts, Harris, Etienne, and who am I missing? Harris? Did I say Harris?
Chase.
But behind those four, Williams tends to be the next guy up. So to get him at 1.11, that's awesome. And then I'm not the biggest Michael Carter fan, but 2.04 in a 12-team league, that's pretty good value there as well. And then Terrace Marshall at 2.11. All of those picks I thought were behind their ADP, which makes them, in my mind, good picks.
Yep, I think so. I mean, I think we knew this was going to happen just based on the comments we've been making about other drafts. We knew there was going to be somebody here who just kind of allowed the value that was falling and just allowed it to come to them, and this is one of those teams. Yep. Michael Carter is kind of very similar to Chuba Hubbard to me when I was talking about how you're kind of talking yourself into it. I'm one of those guys who's talking myself into Michael Carter. I'm like, yeah, it's all going to work out. Like he's just going to win that starting job because I don't know why, but he will.
is it because the only other competition there is Tevin Coleman?
Yeah, that's probably got a lot to do with it. I was like, there's not too many people you have to beat.
Patrick Mahomes is good at football.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes is great. It's going to give you our number one overall quarterback and starter group every single time. And pairing him with Ryan Tannehill as your backup is just great value. You've got two number one QBs there. That's an easy place to start. They bolstered their running back group, which we have number eight and number six overall. Yep. Cam Akers, Kareem Hunt, Javonte Williams, Chase Edmonds. Feels like a decent group. And then I'm even leaving out James Robinson, Gus Edwards, Nyheim Hines, Sony Michel. Like that's pretty good.
Yeah, there's some depth here at running back. There's no doubt about it.
No bangers, but like a lot of depth.
Yeah, they probably really do need Cam Akers to be big. Running back 10, they probably need a little bit better than running back 10. If he's like running back five or six, they might actually be in business. Of course, they lost the title last year, so there's no reason they shouldn't be in business this year. But, you know, maybe they got a little bit lucky because they are only, quote unquote, only number five in the redraft value here. How about on the IDP side? What are you looking at?
Good group. No, nothing flashy. DeMarcus Lawrence is getting a little bit in age, but I think they got great value with getting Jalen Phillips, which looks like off waivers, and he has potential to be one of the better defensive end prospects in there. Blake Martinez is a great linebacker. Devin Bush and Kenneth Murray is really good. Neville Hewitt, I think, was just a flash in the pan. You could probably cut him. I don't see that production coming back in Houston, and they just probably won't be there with the snaps. But it's our number three linebacker group, our number eight defensive end group, and then safety needs a little bit of work with Winfield and Terrell Edmonds, but it's a serviceable group. I think you maybe want to, if you could find maybe one of those flashy names, one of those kind of more high-end scorers on one of the lower teams that we've talked about, might be a little bit helpful. But I think anytime you can roll a team with Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and get yourself into the playoffs with that stack, you're a scary team to go up against.
Is Phillips going to be a defensive line?
Hard to say
here because I don't know if you saw this, but the number he picked for the NFL I believe is 15, which really? If I'm reading the rules right, in order to be number 15 you have
he's gonna be a linebacker then. Okay, yeah, that'll happen. So he's gonna roll into that outside linebacker position. That makes sense.
I don't know, but I don't know how you know, that was his number in college. So I don't think I don't think Jalen Phillips cares what position he's called.
I mean, it's one of those things where we talk about true position is like he's going to be asked to do the same thing. It's just where do you want to identify them as?
Right.
And depending on what kind of league format. But yeah,
that's something that you, I don't know if anyone's considered, but the changes to the rules of the jerseys. Is mm-hmm. that going to have an impact in where guys are positioned for IDP?
Yeah. Oh, jeez. I hadn't even thought about that. That's something I've talked to Sticky about. That's a nightmare if they just end up getting designated somewhere because of a number they want to wear.
Right.
And the team doesn't care what they put them down as. They care about where they're putting their hand in the ground. Good stuff.
6.3 is the team score here. Helmet Sickers, the Stack Prime, rostering Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill. Which one do we want to play? The We Are Young sticker, youngest projected starting lineup. The quarterback's fine, top-rated quarterback position, but we'll play this. The Pack Rat sticker.
Well, first of all, Pack Rats are super cute, so they are our collectors. They go around and they pick up cool, shiny, neat-looking objects, and they bring them back to their nest.
In this case, this is the team that got that extra second-round pick next year, so they do have the most future draft capital. That was part of the Tyler Lockett trade. Not the most future draft capital we've ever seen. But hey, an extra second rounder, that's nice anyway. Number four, Dezed and Confused. I'm assuming at some point Dez Bryant was here on this roster?
Maybe. Yeah, I'm going to take a shot and just guess Cowboys fan. Yeah.
Prescott, too.
Yeah.
Amari Cooper's here. That might make sense.
Maybe time for an update.
You can be dacked and confused. Number four in total redraft value, number four in starter redraft value here. Pretty nice prime age team, number four in dynasty value. Maybe a step behind the elites of the league, but certainly some stud quality players here. Dak at quarterback, Saquon at running back, Keenan Allen at wide receiver, Amari Cooper at wide receiver, who I think still is he's a stud in my heart anyway. And George Kittle, a stud at tight end. The, I guess, problem or the issue, if you want to call it that, it's not really an issue, but it gets a lot more uncertain after you get past those sort of top-of-the-line guys. You know, right now, Joe Mixon is the number two running back. He's running back 12 in consensus value, but he has not lived up to that ranking. It's really, you know, put up or shut up time for Joe Mixon, I think. He's got to stay healthy. He's got to be productive. And then Brandon Ayuk, there's a lot of Brandon Ayuk supporters out there. The idea that he can take the next step is a pretty popular one on certainly on fantasy football Twitter at this point. But again, he's got to prove it. He's got to do it in game, in season, especially with if Debo's healthy and George Kittle are healthy. He's got to prove he can do it with a full complement of competition for targets.
Absolutely. And then I think the other thing that people are kind of just writing off with Ayuk is that I get nervous when there's a potential quarterback change coming sometime in this season. Like, so we're going to get back in a rhythm with Jimmy's going to take most of the number one snaps moving into preseason training camp. They're going to get that rhythm. And then unless Jimmy just goes on fire, at some point Trey Lance is probably going to get out there and start taking the ball. And that just kind of changes the offense. And I'm not a big Trey Lance fan. So that'll kind of damper my expectations a little bit. You love having Brandon Cooks for depth, but I mean, concussions are such a scary thing. He's one away from never playing again. I want to talk myself into Jalen Waddle all the time, but I always end up not doing it, and I lean towards being just worried about that Miami offense in general between mouths to feed and whether Tua can take that step this year. So, yeah, depth's the concern, I think, but if you stay healthy,
I think I actually think they have good depth in general, like, you know, Cooks and Waddle and even like Jacoby Myers is an interesting depth piece at wide receiver. It's really those secondary starters that they have to live up to either, you know, Mixon has to live up to his potential and Ayuk just has to live up to the hype around him. We're going to look at better rosters, and those are the guys that are going to be, I think, most important in getting this team up the hill.
Yeah, I think your IDP group is also fairly strong at the position that I'd want them to be. Actually, they're ridiculously strong. I'm going to confirm Cowboys fans as we go to Blake Jarwin, Dalton Schultz, Leighton Vander Esch, Micah Parsons, and Jabril Cox. I'm going to say this is a Cowboys fan.
And Trevon Diggs.
The linebacker group is it's pretty silly. Devin White, Roquan Smith would be, they're 2-3, and they're both incredibly young. And then they've paired that up with Patrick Queen and Micah Parsons and Jabril Cox. That's crazy. Unfortunately, you can only start two, which may be a little bit frustrating. They're a little bit older at defensive end with Cameron Jordan, Jason Pierre-Paul, but it's that's a decent enough group. And then safety, yeah, Jordan Poyer's enough to start with you. So like that's a playoff IDP group for me, easy.
6.67 is the team score here. Empty trophy case, no other stickers. Number three, Gridiron Gumbies. Gridiron Gumbies. We should just mention this trade. We saw the other side of it, but they got the 1.02 pick for DJ Moore. They also gave up 1.10 and 2.10. The number two pick overall ended up being Kyle Pitts, so that's the way they went there. Pitts goes number two, and they only had Cole Kmet here before, so it makes sense to try to add a potentially generational tight end to the mix. I know everyone, I love saying generational tight end because everyone has, like, I think everyone at this point just starts cringing when you say that.
Yeah, for sure.
It's great.
But that's, I mean, it could be accurate with Kyle Pitts, which is kind of crazy. But
well, and if it is, the rest of the team is stacked. I mean, they're number two at quarterback, number three at running back, number three at wide receiver. Josh Allen is here. They also have Justin Herbert from last year, Kamara, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You know, running back again maybe takes a little bit of a step back. I know Kamara holds a lot of value at running back number five. We'll see if Clyde Edwards-Helaire can live up to the hype from last year, and we'll see if Miles Sanders can be good. He's like the most mystifying fantasy entity, I feel like.
Oh, he's just a mystifying running back, honestly. He's very frustrating to watch. Again, Eagles fan, so I've seen a lot of snaps. Yeah, he will do nothing, and then he'll do something very impressive and bust a 65-yard run for a touchdown, and you're going to be like, oh, man, if he could just do that consistently, it'd be great. And then he doesn't. And he seems to lack a good vision when he's really running in between the tackles, and has some concentration drops that are frustrating. And the Eagles definitely don't look like they're a team who's like, this is our guy. They just keep like bringing in background pieces that they're like, oh, yeah, this is going to be our goal. Yeah, this is going to be our goal line guy. Here's our satellite back. So, yeah, I wouldn't be super comfortable having to start him all the time. But a wide receiver is just wow at the top end. Devontae Adams and Justin Jefferson is just such a good place to start. Kenny Golladay obviously took a huge hit in dynasty value, but is still in an okay position, I think.
Yeah, he's got a shot to be the number one for the Giants. Yeah.
He's the most talented pass catcher there on that roster, in my opinion. Obviously has the least amount of chemistry with Daniel Jones, but I think that's something that can kind of overlook.
I don't think I've ever heard chemistry and Daniel Jones said in the same sentence before.
I mean, just get open and Daniel will huck it at you, so you'll be fine.
More like Daniel will fumble the ball and you'll go to the sideline sad, but either way, whatever.
And then, like, quite a few, we'll call them names for depth. Curtis Samuel, Russell Gage, Christian Kirk, Brian Edwards, James Washington. Like, that's a good-looking team.
Yeah, this is a very strong roster. Like,
I think it's got to be one of your best-looking offenses overall, especially with you got Josh Allen and Justin Herbert is giving you some depth. Like we said, we've got them top three in the three major positions and number six at tight end, which, I mean, honestly, by the time the season starts, Kyle Pitts is going to be everyone's tight end three anyway, so you're on your way there. IDP's leaving, like, a little bit to be wanted, I think. DeForest Buckner's probably one of the only defensive tackles I would want to own in a defensive line starting league. Which is fine if he's going to be your starter. Brandon Graham kind of gives you that. Maybe he's slowly going to turn into a bit of a sack specialist here with rotations and snaps, but it will probably be enough. Great value with Quiddy Pay at 3.10. I think that's absolutely great value. He has the potential to be the number one pass rusher in this draft. Lots of opportunity in Indianapolis. He's going to get the snaps. The number eight at linebacker with Miles Jack, Micah Kizer. Yikes. And defensive end, Malcolm Jenkins and Malcolm Butler it's okay, but I think IDP is probably going to hold this team back, not like from the playoffs, but from making those championship pushes.
Yeah. Number 10 overall in IDP value here needs to have some, well, we'll see. I mean, some growth would be good there. If they can get, I mean, this offense is good enough. If that IDP group just doesn't hold them back, I mean, they can be a title team. 6.8 is the team score here. The Rook sticker tied for most rookie starters. The RML approved highest rated RML staff ranking versus consensus. But I feel like we have to play this, the My Generational TE sticker. For having Kyle Pitts as your projected starter at tight end. That's fun. Number two, Waiver Wire Warriors from the West Division here. And we are definitely stepping up in roster quality overall. Number two in total redraft value. Number three in starter redraft value here. Looking at the breakdown, I mean, running back, wide receiver is just... that's as good a combo as you're going to see with Christian McCaffrey, Zeke, and then Stephon Diggs, Allen Robinson, CeeDee Lamb. That is the heart and soul of this team.
Yeah, I mean, no major holes, and have decent depth pieces to kind of plug any injuries if they have. They've got A.J. Dillon, Cooper Kupp sitting on the bench, even DJ Chark. All great pieces. I mean, such a high-end scoring with that depth. This is just a very good team. Number six overall quarterback with a lot of starter options. Russell Wilson, Baker Mayfield, Zach Wilson, and Jared Goff.
Yeah, and can be used as trade chips. As we've seen, quarterbacks are very important in this league. Yeah. They can definitely be traded. I mean, Baker Mayfield might get you Ja'Marr Chase or something at this point.
Yeah, tight ends, a little messy, but it's got some serviceable pieces. When you're only starting one, I think they've got enough. They've got Mike Gesicki as well as both the new New England tight ends with Jonnu and Hunter Henry, and then topping that off with Austin Hooper and Pat Freiermuth. There's options there. You're going to be able to kind of maybe play the hot hand a little bit, but that's a strong, strong offensive group, and then it pairs right into a good-looking IDP group. Hunter and Tuitt, this is our number two overall defensive line group. Darius Leonard, I love. Jordan Hicks, I have concerns about, but you picked up Zavian Collins, so that's great. No problems there then. That's a nice-looking group, number four overall in linebacker, and then a very, very nice safety group for defensive backs. You're probably going to end up starting two every week with Buda Baker and Jeremy Chinn, and then having Jesse Bakes on the back end is just great.
Yeah, this is the number one IDP group in the league, mm-hmm. and it's a young group. 24.7 is your average starter age on defense.
Yeah, no, it's very nice. Like got a lot of oomph now and longevity.
A little bit older on offense, 26.9 on the offensive side of the ball, but young enough that they don't really lose a ton of dynasty. They lose a decent amount though with Zeke and Stephon Diggs. I could go on a whole soapbox about Stephon. That every time I see Stephon Diggs losing dynasty value, I get frustrated and annoyed. But there it is. Zeke, Diggs, Cooper Kupp losing dynasty value here. 7.46 is the team score. I mean, is this a title team? This feels like a title kind of roster.
I could definitely do it. I mean, I wonder what the number one team's IDP looks like. I think that'll really be kind of an interesting factor.
Yeah, obviously, this team did not have Christian McCaffrey last year, so getting him back this season could make him the out-and-out favorite. 7.46 is the team score. Helmet stickers, the bell-to-wall sticker, highest-rated IDP group. But we'll play the Wind Beneath My Wings. I would fly high. For the top-rated wide receiver group in the league, and they certainly earned that with Diggs and Allen Robinson and CeeDee Lamb, Cooper Kupp, DJ Chark, Corey Davis, goes on and on and on. Getting weepy over here. Okay, number one, the one who knocks from the West Division, of course. That's from... Breaking Bad, and the logo, if you look at the logo of that team, the logo is also from Breaking Bad too. So the one who knocks from the West Division won a title last year. That's a pretty good way to live. The question is, can they come back and win another title? It started off real well when they traded a couple meh quarterbacks and the 12th pick to move up five slots to get Ja'Marr Chase at 1.07. You have the title winning roster, which is, oh, by the way, already number one in total and starter redraft value. It's number one in dynasty value. And then you add to that Ja'Marr Chase. That feels like overkill. It shouldn't be allowed. Mm-hmm. They're too good now.
Yeah, that feels frustrating. Just be like, oh, I won, and I got one of the two best players in the draft. Cool.
Ja'Marr Chase is now, let me count, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's the fifth wide receiver for redraft value on this team, just ahead of Jerry Jeudy, who's also here. I mean, this wide receiver group is really good. It's number two in the league. I mean, we can go in a lot of different directions here, but this wide receiver group is number two in the league in overall value. And they're only projected to start one guy because running back is unreal. With Derrick Henry, unreal. Jonathan Taylor, Nick Chubb, and Antonio Gibson, all of them projected starters. I mean, They have so many flex. They got flex on flex on flex here. They just have so many flex potentially players who could be potential stud flex plays on the roster. It is it's bleak for everyone else in the league right now. I'd be telling everyone don't trade with him. No more trades with the one who knocks.
No, for sure. I mean, I think this is stressful Saturday nights for this guy, but it's kind of one of those ones where I think you're playing a trivia game with no wrong answers. So picking those flex positions might be a little bit of a task every week. But, I mean, when you're like, oh, do I start Chris Godwin or Nick Chubb? Oh, I don't know. life's tough, right?
And oh, by the way, Travis Kelce at tight end and Kyler Murray at quarterback.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, so we've got the number five overall in running back and quarterback, sorry, with a number with QB3 as a starter. So you're starting QB3, you're starting tight end one, and then you've got those two powerhouse positional groups we just talked about.
The only question left is, does IDP matter at all?
I think that's the answer. I mean, it's not a sexy IDP group. It's got enough scoring. The defensive line I like with Chris Jones, probably the last defensive tackle I'd own. Brian Burns, I think, is an ascending defensive end position. He's probably going to take a step forward this year, so that's a nice group. Linebacker leaves a lot to be desired. Tremaine Edmonds is a big name for me. I don't think he's a very good football player, but currently he gets the snaps and will get the tackles, so it'll work. Alex Singleton, Eagles linebacker situation's messy as heck, so who knows? Keanu Neal might not be a safety anymore. Hard to say. We'll see what happens there. And then Justin Simmons, like, it's an okay group, but just the group behind them, who I think obviously don't have as good an offensive group because they can't, but they have when it's starters to starters, I think 2 and 1 are pretty close. So it would be interesting to see whether IDP makes the difference or not.
I mean, it didn't. Last year.
Obviously it didn't matter last year. I just want to say shame on everybody for letting Elijah Moore fall to 2.12. That is very, very bad. He should have been a first round draft pick quite easily, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, at the very least an early second. But again, one of the big storylines for this league is that the draft did not follow ADP at all. I mean, it wasn't even close. With Trevor Lawrence going 1, with Mac Jones going 3, and then Justin Fields going 6 overall ahead of Ja'Marr Chase. I will say, outside of the quarterbacks, it wasn't the most out of line, I suppose. I mean, Chase falling to number 7 was kind of the big one, I guess. It's really just where those quarterbacks fit in, and then Zach Wilson at 8, and then the order of the quarterbacks. It was all kind of wonky here, but we did it. So 9.16 is the team score. Running red lights, the top rated running back position, we get it. You have Kelce, top rated tight end position, and we'll play this one, the King sticker. For the top rated team, I mean, I feel like I have to play the sticker 3 or 4 times with how good this roster is. They are just heads and shoulders above everybody else. I would not be surprised at all if they won a title. In fact, I'd be pretty surprised if they did not win a back-to-back championship this year. I mean, you never know. There could be like the Christian McCaffrey takes over and just wins everything season, or the Saquon Barkley wins everything season. It's pretty much going to take one of those all-time years from someone like that, or like a Lamar Jackson, you know, 2019. Something like that would have to happen for this team to be threatened, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a pretty clear-cut favorite at this point.
Thanks again to Golden Empire. Thanks again to Eric and to Rob for facilitating. You can follow me on Twitter at RateMyLeague. Luke, where can we follow your work?
You can follow me on Twitter at DynastyDieHard.
There you go. Have a great season. Good luck this year. Hopefully we'll get to talk to you again in the future. Adios.